pretty good ring to it.
I know it, right? They got it done quick. I did not know that was going to happen. I thought it was going to be Mike Dempsey. I was going to have to make an announcement that, hey, it is not Mike Dempsey. It is T-Wig along with our good friend Ryan O'Halloran, the Jaguars beat writer for the Florida Times Union, on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday edition of the Jaguars Today Show. Mike Dempsey is currently out playing in the Guggen Open out here at the beautiful confines of...
Do we have an update on how Mike Dempsey is doing today?
No, he was sweating profusely, though, at the putting greens
Mike's
and the driving range.
Mike's
right before. It looks like he's played nine already, so he's got the knee brace working, Tyler, and, you know, he's going to get it going, man, but he's excited to go out there. I'm excited to be here with Ryan on his behalf today, and of course Tyler Devitt. It's the same old thing, man. It's Jaguars, Jaguars, and more Jaguars. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to do this because I don't want to sound like an expert when I don't know what I'm talking about, Ryan. Quick WWE, tell me what happened, tell me who won, so we can start breaking down the Otto Lelio and the five techniques.
All right, for those out there, it was a long, long show. It, you know, injuries prevented, you know, a lot of the major guys from taking part, but a ladder match to start it. Zack Ryder, sort of a dark horse unknown, great match. The one that's going to get the headlines is The Undertaker beat Shane McMahon, but
here comes the money.
McMahon got his money because he jumped off the cage onto the announce table. That was pretty awesome. Then you had Roman Reigns beating Triple H, which is what I thought would happen because you can't have the boss of the company holding the strap. But overall, I mean, there's some good moments. Stone Cold came out, gave a couple stunners. The Rock came out. I think The Rock and Bray Wyatt may be laying the seeds for something pretty cool coming down at SummerSlam or John Cena. So, you know, a lot of, like, what they call WrestleMania moments. There were a lot of those moments, but they're also just, it was a commitment to get through it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I felt bad, but I did feel uninformed. When I saw longtime NFL scouts and GMs and those, they were following WWE. It was the first time I can remember that Draft Twitter just totally shut down for about 3 hours. That's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Yeah. That was a pretty good thing that Draft Twitter went away. But it was the one time that something was going on Twitter, man. I'm a bit of a pop culture dude, man, and follows a lot of stuff. But I had no clue what was going on. I didn't even want to pretend. So guess what? I didn't even get on Twitter. I didn't watch it because everything was about WWE. I had no knowledge of what was going on. What I do know, though, I know me some NFL, and I know you do, too. So we're going to get into some NFL. We're going to talk the Jaguars, of course, and take a look at the team and discuss some things like which running back I believe has the bigger impact for the Jags. Doesn't mean who gets the most carries. Doesn't mean who starts. But I think it means who's in the game at critical times and who makes the most bigger the bigger plays. We're going to peek at the schedule. Look inside a division, first of all, and see what the other teams that the Jags are going to be playing and facing have done to improve themselves. Because a lot of times when we talk on our show and we interact with fans, it's almost as if the Jags have made all of these changes, Ryan, and everyone else has just stood still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to play the same people they played last year with all these new players, and nobody else has done anything.
Yeah. I mean, those teams got better, too, because they needed to get better. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Houston, which backed their way into the division because they got hot and rode a defense, they probably made the most expensive move in the division.
Right, with quarterback.
With Osweiler. But you look at Tennessee, they did their things with DeMarco Murray, and they got the number one pick. The Jaguars won the award for volume.
Right.
But let's see how those guys, what kind of impact those guys make. And, we'll get into it later, but Indianapolis is your wild card.
And they did nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know what they probably did? They got healthy. People think it's just Andrew Luck. T.Y. Hilton was banged up all year.
Mm-hmm.
So Arthur Jones didn't play because he was hurt. He may be their best defensive lineman. So they're going to get healthy, too. And then something else they did, they solidified who's going to be their coach. Because last year, Pagano, no one knew if he was coming back. There was a bit of a turmoil with him and Gregson and Ursay's quirky anyway, so mm-hmm. you never know what to expect. You add injuries to all of that foolishness, and then you realize why a team doesn't have some success. Something else we're going to take a look at, and this may be the question of the day here on Jaguars Today, Julius Thomas, a question that we talked about on XL Primetime. I think he could be the guy that's the difference between whether they're 7-9 or 10-6. We'll take a look at his impact. And something else that we discussed, and we discussed this off the air, can they really screw this pickup? And what I mean is, what if the Jaguars pick a guy and he's maybe a better fit for the team and he's okay, and then 4 years from now you look and there were two or three other guys that they didn't take that look like they're headed to Canton? Mm-hmm. Does that hurt you in terms of does picking for need and picking to, say, team build as opposed to taking – the total best player, does that always work out? So we got a lot of things we're going to get into and a lot of things we're going to look forward to today.
And then in the second hour, we're going to call in Hayes Carlisle, my colleague from the Times Union. He had a mock draft on Saturday. Mm. Nothing gets clicks, nothing gets topics like the mock draft. So we're going to talk about him. He's also at the Sawgrass today for that shootout. So he was talking to Gus and Blake. So we'll see if he had any takeaways from that. So
yeah, and I didn't see that. So it's going to be interesting to see. I want to get surprised by it. And I made a point when you brought that up to me early this morning when we were going back and forth about what we're going to discuss. I made it a point to not look at it because I actually want Hayes to surprise me so we can get that very authentic and raw reaction from myself. I have never golfed. You said you don't golf. And because I was in the Air Force, I was in Grand Forks, North Dakota when I was 19.
Hey there.
I kind of figured out why you didn't golf because there is no damn time to golf because it's cold 9 months out of the year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's that was one of the – you know what? It was very difficult. It was a very difficult adjustment for me going into the Air Force, going into Grand Forks. But as I look back, that was the funnest 19 months of my life.
Well, that's what you have in common with my father, who was stationed in Grand Forks after he went to Vietnam. And they went to the University of North Dakota on the old GI Bill. So, but, yeah, I mean, I golfed a little bit when I was, like, you know, just putting around when I was in high school. But, I mean, if this was the Guggen Bowling Open.
Oh, you can do it? You can do it?
I put on the shoes.
I can't bowl either, man, because I roll it sidearm, right? I do everything. I always try to protect my hands in anything that I do. Even if I go fishing, I wear gloves because I've been a barber and I can't stand cuts on my hands because of all those chemicals.
Uh-huh.
You cut your hand and forget it and touch some of that alcohol, that 91% proof alcohol, you'll run faster than Usain Bolt in the parking lot, bro. Let me tell you, you don't want those surprises. So now the table is set. Jaguars today, a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. T-Wig, Ryan O'Halloran, in for Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony. We'll be back on the other side, and we'll get into the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think what we've done is we've identified techniques that have a higher propensity for injury, and we've taken those out of the game. And I believe that we've made the game safer, but also more entertaining and more exciting.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That was Commissioner Roger Goodell last week. That audio is via courtesy of Jaguars.com. You know, that's a slippery argument when you talk about safety and injuries and compensation. And Ryan, the only thing I've ever said about that is I think if you ask any guy who played the game who's wealthy and rich and he's walking around, if he'd have done anything differently, he would tell you no, except one thing. He would have asked for more compensation based on the risk. I always say a guy that paints a house doesn't make as much as a guy that paints a bridge because the bridge is more dangerous.
Yeah, and one thing that players, you know, you make a deal with the devil to play in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, risk, there's risk in that. The Goodell thing is interesting because, I mean, the commissioner of the league is in town. He's never here. And local media wasn't invited.
Right.
That was supposedly the league office's call. So to me, that means he wanted to sort of fly in under the radar.
Get in and get out.
Yeah, because he knew this was going to, like, the optics of this wasn't a great thing. But you know, I think with Goodell is he just is become so on guard about everything. He's just is sort of making things worse.
I can understand it, but on the other hand, he's so forward about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can't be that way. If you're on guard, then you're just on guard about everything. If you're the kind of guy that controls information, then you control information. You're not the guy that's aggressive in one narrative, but then you're very hidden and very distant in other things that seem to be important to people.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to talk your ear off all day about, you know, the online streaming of games.
Mm-hmm.
But But some of the other things, you could ask him what day it is. He's going to say, well, I'm going to have to check with my people. But you know, he's the owners like him, so he'll be here for a while.
Yeah, he's a good businessman. He's smart. He makes a lot of money. And that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to make money for the National Football League and the owners, and that's exactly what he's done.
My now, question look, for you guys, and this was our Tom Bush Motors question of the day last week. If you had an opportunity to be face-to-face with the Raj, what would your first question be to him? What is the most pressing question you would ask the commissioner?
Well, I would go back. I would go to the health and safety point is, you know, what is the end game in terms of the lawsuits? Okay, you're going to hold your ground, but what's the in his opinion, what's the humane thing to do for the players who have CTE? And, you know, what is the league going to do to help the guys who are currently playing the game?
For me, I think it would be why in the settlement did you insist that you didn't have to tell anyone what you knew and what would your motivation be for not just being transparent uh-huh. about it? Because I think that's what therein lies the truth to all of this. Look, players were going to play football anyway. I played football when I was a kid. You know it's dangerous. You know you can get hurt. Back then, it was spinal injuries mm-hmm. because of Daryl Stingley and all of those things. It was you got to keep your head up. You got to see what you hit. You can't hold your head down. We were always concerned about spinal injuries in terms of tackling with the top of your head. See what you hit. Bow your neck down and put your head across the bow. No one was really concerned about concussions because they didn't know. And that's the thing. If the owners had information, the only reason they would suppress it or the only reason they would poo-poo it a little bit would be because they knew if it got into the hands of the union and the players that the players would say, look, we're taking more risk. We need a bigger piece of the pie. So it's all about money. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just honestly believe that's what it is. Speaking of guys that take hits and guys that can give hits and hit with the top of their head without being penalized, running backs. Running backs are not as protected as quarterbacks and defenseless receivers. The Jaguars have had running back issues since Maurice Jones-Drew had that big season. They really haven't had a legitimate running back, and some would argue that the reason why the running game has struggled so much was not just on the talent in the backfield, but because the offensive line has been settled. Some have even said, well, they didn't have a quarterback and receiver, so teams just stacked the box. All of that stuff is a problem. But last year, Blake Bortles arrived, at least statistically, and showed progress. Allen Robinson is one of the best receivers in the league. He's a true alpha number one. Allen Hurns is one of the best number twos in the league. Julius Thomas, who we'll get to later, is a high caliber, top five, top six tight end in the league. So you'd think that would lend you a good eye to be able to evaluate the running back crop and say, what's the problem? Ryan, they couldn't convert on third and fourth and short. They only had three rushing touchdowns last year, and I think a couple of them were by Bortles, right?
Yeah, he had two of the five.
Right, two of the five. Yeah. So the running backs only had three. I think in order for them to take the next step, which is clock management, which is converting on third down, keeping the other team on the field, keeping the other team honest, I think they have to get more production out of the running backs. Now, T.J. Yeldon got banged up a little bit last year, but my concern is at 225 pounds, he wasn't on the field doing short yardage. Mm-hmm. So that they must have saw something, mm-hmm. or they must have realized. And then they go out this year and spend $6 million a year on a banger who is a short yardage running back.
Yeah, I mean, I always have to do a double take when I write about Yeldon, and you look at his weight. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look like a 225-pounder. He looks like he's 205, 200, mm-hmm. and should be more of a scat back type. The run game, even when TJ was in there, he didn't have a lot of breathing room. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other times he was a rookie, maybe wasn't patient enough to wait for things to open up. But he still averaged 4.1 a carry, 740 for the year. Had he not got hurt, he could have been knocking on 1,000, and we may be having a different conversation. But one thing that Gus talked about at the owners' meetings 2 weeks ago down in Boca was how much they want to stress getting the run game going so they can use play action. And parlay that into keeping defenses honest, like you're saying. Okay, if you got the run game going with Yeldon or Ivory, safety down the middle of the field, bites on the play action, 15 down the middle of the field, touchdown. So yeah. I think it's on offense, You look at all the strides they made, like you said, terrible on third down, terrible on first and 10 in terms of running it, mm-hmm. which puts you behind the sticks. So, you know, I think it's the key because you don't want Blake throwing 500, 600 times again, because that means you're not going to be,
they ain't going to control the game. Yeah. Right.
So if you can, you know, and I think where the run game comes in is if you do get a lead, you can sort of enforce your will a little bit. Or the couple of times they had it, you remember Buffalo last year, four shots from the one, punch it in there, game is over.
Yeah, it's done.
It's 35-10, mm-hmm. I think. So, you know, I think that was, I mean, if subconsciously, if you're Dave and Gus on the flight home from London that night, you're saying, okay, Toby's not the answer. I don't even want to question this.
Right.
So they felt they addressed it with Ivory. I mean, his analytics on short yardage last year wasn't great, but I watched a couple of his games, and one thing he does is he runs through tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they need. On first and 10, they need a guy who can get you six. Second and four, they need a guy who can get you a first down. And then also the short yardage.
Right. So, and that leads me to think that, look, I wasn't one that was sold that they didn't need to add another player at that position. I know there's some experts that say, you know, the running back has been, he's not that important anymore. It's all about passing. And that's fine. But teams that don't have runners, you can always tell when they don't have one. Pittsburgh, they were able to replace Le'Veon Bell with Williams. Last year, and that was fine. But look at Green Bay. Green Bay, they needed somebody when Eddie Lacy decided to go and eat everything that he could and get fat. They needed a running back. The Giants, with all that passing, with Beckham running around, they need a consistent running back. If you don't have one, Dallas. Dallas had a running back by committee last year, and even though McFadden got a lot of yards, it still wasn't the same thing that happened the year before. I think running backs are important, and the Jaguars obviously think that because they used the second-round pick on Yeldon. And then, even with all of the things that you talked about, with him having 700 yards and averaging 4 yards a carry, they still go out and give Chris Ivory a 3-year, $18 million deal. I'm just wondering, when the year starts, I don't care who starts the game, as the ebb and the flow of the game goes on, I'm going to be paying attention to who's in the game then?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the most important guy? At the end of each one of those games, who will we look back and say had a bigger impact? Or will it just be by committee and they're just going to go with the hot guy?
My first instinct would be that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're looking at, these two guys, is, and I'm looking at Denver right now, last year, Hillman 207, mm-hmm. C.J. Anderson 152. Denver felt strong enough about that tandem that they matched that offer sheet from Miami.
Right.
But if I look at the Jaguars right now in this run game, I'll predict that it's going to be TJ is going to start the game, but they're looking at, I think they're going to look at Ivory is okay. He's going to get us over the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a short yardage guy, every third series early in the game. But let's say they're leading 17-10 with 4.5 minutes to go. I think that's going to be Chris Ivory. Unless they get into some third down stuff, you put TJ back in. So, it sounds cliche-ish, and I'm going to predict what they're going to say, but I think it definitely is going to be game to game. And we're really not going to know it until week one, because these situations will come into play in the preseason, because both those guys will be watching in the second half.
Yeah, they will. Now, do you think a little bit of it is this? Are they really open to competition? Are they really open to the fact that, look, Chris Ivory, I don't know what they told him. Mm-hmm. Beat him out if you can. And then do you think they tell too? Because I think it's time for this franchise to not necessarily have a blueprint or a trestle board on where they want or what they want and how they want it to be done. I think the onus is on everyone to say, look, nobody, excuse my language or the lingo, ain't nobody safe.
Uh-huh.
It's pressure. We got to win. So whatever happens, whoever goes out there and is able to get it done, that's who we'll put on the field.
I think that's definitely true at some of those positions. Running back, it's sort of a different thing because both those guys are going to get carries. I think what the conversation is going to be when they both get here in a couple weeks is, especially when the regular season starts, is, hey, going into the game, you're going to get these two series. You're going to get these two series. Then come second half, we're going to go with the hot hand. And as a player, that's all you can ask for, especially at running back.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just give me some touches so I can get going. The thing for Chris Ivory is going to be he's used to getting 20, 22. What's going to be – is he going to be able to get in that rhythm with maybe seven?
Right.
You know, so it's going to be a balancing act. But, you know, they definitely have a better option there than last year at this time.
Yeah, Ryan, like you said, he's not going to be able to get 23 carries for 26 yards like he had against the Jags last year.
Yeah, yeah. He won't. He would have been shut down at halftime.
Right, right. Denard Robinson, does he have a role from the line of scrimmage, or is it now – is he competing with Corey Grant for kick return duties and maybe a gadget play every now and then? Did he, for lack of a better term, did he fumble his way out of being a change of pace back for this club?
I think so, because if this team is any good, it's because those two guys are running it well.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that, you know? Is, and also, if you want to change a pace guy, is Corey Grant more that guy, mm-hmm. since Denard has added that weight? I mean, I think it depends on what they do later in the draft. Do they draft a guy and see what he can do? I mean, I think Denard has a roster spot right now, but he should be prepared for not a big role.
Now, a lot of this could be all for naught if one team's have watched enough film that they feel like they can cause Blake to not play as well if he regresses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is all for naught if they don't get the interior of the offensive line. They look like they have the bodies, okay? They look like, with even if they go Can at the middle or Linder in the middle with Can and Bernardo on both sides of them, it looks like, you know, the competition at left tackle is going to help. It's not just talent, it's cohesion. Mm-hmm. If they don't all come together and play well, it doesn't matter. That being said, hypothetical that they don't play well, which one of those guys can play better if the line doesn't play well?
Yeah, I think that'd be Yeldon, who could maybe is a little quicker,
mm-hmm.
and can bounce it outside. He did that last year where he would get three, 4 yards when he had a hand on him behind the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they need to block better up front, and right now, you know, they've always stated that the most important position is left tackle, the second most position is center. We're here 1st of April. We don't know who the starter is going to be either of those two spots.
That's a good point.
To me, that's interesting. I mean, obviously, they have a plan. I mean, what's going to be interesting to me, and me and Hayes Carlisle have talked about this, Hayes will be on later, is – do they draft a center in the second round and say, you're our guy, plug and play?
If the kid from Alabama is there.
And I think that's who Hazel, I think that's who Hayes is pointing to. We've talked about him a little bit, is, okay, keep Linder, who's your best lineman, keep him at the position he's played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you draft Ryan Kelly in the second round, you put him at center, saying, okay, yeah, he's a center. Yeah, we're still young there, but we have a third-year quarterback who's probably more up on protections. And if you're going to have a young center, put two good guards on his hips. And, you know, I think that would be AJ and Brandon, who are two solid guys. So that's another dynamic that will be interesting draft weekend, is will they end draft weekend knowing who their line is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about draft regret. I'm not talking about guys that you missed on. I'm talking about being so gung-ho and stuck on Otto Leo in the box safety. A couple of years ago when they took Jonathan Cyprian, I'm going to give you a couple of names, Kawan Short and Le'Veon Bell. We're taken right after that. Can you be too married to system as opposed to just picking the better players? It's Jaguars Today with T-Wig and Ryan O'Halloran.
You know, we try to make our team as competitive as possible, bringing in guys, and, you know, that's ideal for a team. So, yeah, but I think as we went back and looked at cut-ups, and we were talking about getting Jonathan down in the box more, that's where we saw when he was at his best.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh, it's that time on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Here on Jaguars Today with my man Ryan O'Halloran, it's T-Wig, taking a bit of a hiatus from XL Primetime. My boy Hack and Joe will be in at the normal time today. I'm sitting in for Mike Dempsey as he I guess you can call it golf. He's swinging sticks with little heads on them and swinging at a little ball. I think you can call it golf. That's what they're doing,
right? Well, I haven't heard any cursing from the fairways over here. So, to me, that means they're at least making contact.
Yeah, I haven't heard laughing yet either. So, laughing and cursing.
I haven't heard laughing. Great shot!
Yeah, I know it, right? We're going to get into the draft, and this is one of my favorite things to do. And, of course, we'll tease a little bit, too. Hayes Carline did a mock draft. We're going to have Jaguars reporter Hayes Carline on in the second hour. He's going to discuss his mock with us, and that's always fun. But Ryan, I'm gonna give you the floor for a second, and I'm gonna let you jump off the ledge here, because I'm gonna agree with my man Pete Prisco. I think you lost your natural mind, but still,
I'm still on the Josh Norman train.
If I made you GM of the Jags right now for the next 20 seconds, what would you do?
Well, Josh Norman still hasn't signed this franchise.
So you'll give up 2 ones and about $80 million to Josh Norman to come to the Jaguars. You'll give up the 5th this year and a number 1 next year. Would you try to negotiate it? Which I don't know if that's negotiable. I know some franchises say.
Well, it's flat 2. I think it's flat 2. 2 first round picks, because it just hasn't happened. But I mean, it would definitely spice up the next couple of weeks. And you have, as of the end of business Friday, they had $52 million in cap space, which was second most in the league. San Francisco had a little bit more just because they haven't signed anybody. Mm-hmm. And they might have a lot more if they get rid of Kaepernick. But I still think, like, you brought Mukamara in. We both like Devon House probably a lot more than a lot of other people do, but guys are on the football. So Aaron Coleman now is your nickel. So I think corner makes a lot of sense. They're not going to do it, but honestly, if you made me the GM for the 5 minutes on March 9th, is think about the conversations we'd be having right now if they would have gotten Vernon.
No doubt.
You'd be looking at the draft saying, okay.
Corner,
best player available. Okay, trade down. Mm-hmm. See if you can, okay, trade down to 15, maybe take Shaq Lawson.
Yeah.
Maybe take a safety, so it just would change the dynamic a little bit. Now we're going in the next 3 weeks from Thursday saying, okay, they may be in a position where the couple guys they need to have aren't there. So they're going to maybe take some, take a position that they have a lot of depth, which would probably be Bosa.
I tell you what, you're right. And Bosa's my man. We talked about that too. I love Bosa. I also love Hargraves because I think he's a natural corner. Of course I love Ramsey, but I think he'll be gone. Three positions that I know won't be there when they pick. One of those quarterbacks is going to be gone because I think Cleveland's going to take one.
And that's the Jags need that to happen.
They need it to happen.
Yeah.
I do believe that Jalen Ramsey and Tyler's going to give us some interesting information on him and something that he said this weekend. I think he's gone, and I think even though I would never, ever use the top 10 pick on an offensive lineman, but I understand their value. I probably believe that Laramie Tunsil is going to be a 10-time All-Pro type dude, because I've known him. I saw him play basketball before I saw him play football, and it's unbelievable that a dude that size could move like that. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't surprise me that he's where he is right now. But here's a move that I'd make. By the way, I still think you're crazy about giving up all that for Josh Norman. But I tell you something I would explore, and I'm surprised more teams haven't explored it. The Jets are willing to trade Muhammad Wilkerson for less than a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. A team with a high second-round pick, why don't you trade and sign Muhammad Wilkerson to a 5-year, $80 million deal and give up a second-round pick? I'd take Muhammad Wilkerson here at Jacksonville, leave Malik Jackson outside at left defensive end, and put Muhammad Wilkerson inside with Cedric Marks. Now, there are no sub-packages. That's your pass rush, along with Dante Fowler. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
A lot of money.
They were willing to spend the money for Vernon. And Vernon, to me, is not as good a player as Muhammad Wilkerson, though they play different positions.
Yeah, different positions. So, okay, you have to project. He mostly played at 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I like that is Dan Bold.
Yeah. He was Malik Jackson in New York.
Yeah.
He played inside, played outside. But what did he get? Double-digit sacks.
28 sacks over the last 3 seasons. And
he missed
6 games in 2014.
Figure it out. If they're really trying to figure it out, even if you line up 3 guys, if you line up Wilkerson with Jackson with Marks and stand Fowler up and move him around and let him just go, Todd Wash wouldn't be down on that. Just get me some players. Get the best players you can on the field.
And I think that's going to be the big difference with Todd in charge is if he sees guys making plays, he's going to make room for them. Because internally, before free agency, they already were talking their third down package was going to be Jackson and Marks, Vernon and Fowler on the same side. One of them be called the linebacker.
Right.
Pretty salty.
Makes sense.
So I think what they're maybe looking at now is I think they still want to use that kind of thing. Think about this defense last year. Even us people in the press box, we knew what was coming.
You knew what was coming.
If it was a blitz, it was going to be Paz up the middle or Colvin coming from the slot. There was no variety in their personnel or their scheme. So, you know, if you add some pieces in the draft, you give Todd Wash some options to mix and match. I mean, yes, Cyprian and Sample is your strong safety competition, but I think they're going to try and find ways to get both of them on the field at the same time. So it's that's the intriguing part.
Maybe have one play on third down that's sort of a buck, almost a linebacker, almost a safety. But the reason I bring up Hargraves, when I bring that up, Jaguar fans or people that follow him say, oh, he doesn't fit the team, he's not big. Get away from that. I don't care.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's what we're going to talk about. And that's something that Pete Prisco has been on too when I discuss it with, is forget the terminology. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've asked the Jaguars is, okay, for 3 years you guys have been so committed to the corner. It's got to be above 6 feet. Got to be X amount of pounds. It hasn't got you a lot of interceptions. Devon House, I think, is a smaller guy. He's a little tall, but he's not thick. Mm-hmm. To me, that plays in Hargraves because he doesn't fit the measurables that you guys have preferred. But you watch Florida, he's around the football. That's what you guys need.
The dude has basically been the best cornerback in college football for 3 years. Number one coming out of high school, he did nothing to disappoint. Meanwhile, while you're getting tall, guys, a bunch of short guys that can really play whooping your butt every week because they don't fit your mold. They just got to, to me, they got to get away from that. Even with Cyprian, when they pick Cyprian, we talked during the break, don't have draft regret. Don't not take guys like Le'Veon Bell. Don't not take Tyrann Mathieu. Mm-hmm. Don't not take Jamie Collins because you were so gung-ho in finding the next Cam Chancellor. Because a guy looks like Cam Chancellor doesn't mean he plays like Cam Chancellor.
Yeah. If they're looking for the next Cam, they should have drafted a linebacker.
Right.
Jamie Collins, you're the guy. So
that's your auto right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, the 2013 draft, which was supposed to be the foundation, is they're having to sign free agents and redraft for those mistakes. Because you look at the top five rounds, Jokel, Cyprian, Gratz, Ace, and Denard.
Do you play poker?
No.
You don't. Well, there's a thing in poker playing where you can be really conservative. When I play, which I don't play much, I'm very conservative. Guys that know me know that if I'm betting aggressively, they get out of the hand because I have it. I think what the Jaguars have done, to make an analogy of drafting and playing poker, they were very conservative. Very conservative. Well, now they're going for it because they have to.
Yeah.
Now they're going all in. They've given themselves such a small window. Those first 2 years, they were careful. And it's not backtracking. This is stuff that I've said since they were doing it. What are they doing? Why are you going so slow? They wanted to hit on those late-round picks. They wanted to use their scouting department and find those gems, the way that they found Cindric Marks and the way that they found Telvin Smith. I think they depended on that too much. You know who hit on all of their late picks? Denver. We just signed a guy Denver hit on in 2012. In the fifth round. Mm-hmm. They also got Derek Wolfe in that draft. They got Danny Trevathan right after that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But the problem is you go all in that way and play conservative for 2 years. And now when you have to win, you totally do the other thing and you're trying to buy it. There's a danger in that. And I don't buy this. Look, this was the plan all along. I think they missed on people. I think they missed on a bunch of low budget free agents and they missed on a bunch of their late round picks.
Imagine what they'd be, that first year they hit on Roy Miller and they hit on Marks in free agency. They both got second contracts.
May have been a bad thing because they probably thought they could keep doing it that way.
Yeah, and I think, the plan in terms of gradually spending more, I think ideally what their plan was is they were going to spend more to fill very, very specific spots that they hadn't drafted for. where the plan had taken a step back is they're having to redraft and they're having to sign to fill in some of those picks. I mean, ideally for them is they wouldn't have had to sign Devon House.
Mm-hmm.
Or they wouldn't have had to sign Kelvin Beachum for starters, or had to draft James Sample thinking, okay, he could be their future strong safety. So, but this is a big draft. I mean, they've signed starters in free agency, so because they've had to mask some of the years. The first 2 years they had to cover up for all the Gene Smith errors, and now it's
they're covering up for some of their own.
And now it's a little different.
I had people before last year's draft telling me that they were set before free agency started, that the Jaguars were set at defensive back. People that covered the team, now they don't need any defensive back. Well, since then they signed Devon House, they drafted James Sample. They signed Sergio Brown. They signed Tayshaun Gibson.
Yeah.
They signed Prince Amukamara. And we're both still sitting here saying they may draft a cornerback. That's six guys for four positions, but people thought that they were safe. That's why you really, really never, ever know. But to your point, and I'll say this, you're right about the corner position, because even though they have Amukamara and they have House and they have Colvin, if they're playing three guys all the time, 70% of the time in nickel, Amukamara misses a lot of games, always with those soft tissue injuries.
That's
so
the
now,
key thing, yeah.
Where's your third guy? Where's your other guy? Is this Grotz? Where's the other guy going to come from if you're a nickel all the time? That's why I think at some point in the first three rounds of the draft, I think they go back to the well again and they get another corner and just have competition. And I don't care how tall he is, as long as he can play.
Yeah. Should we talk to John from Jack's Beach? He's got a question about the draft.
You know what? Let's take him after the break because we're right up against it at 50. So, John, when you come back, we're going to talk about the draft. We're going to answer your questions. We have Ryan O'Hallen from the Florida Times Union and Jacksonville.com. And you got your man T-Week sitting in for Mike Dempsey on a Wild West Guns and Gold Jaguars Today Monday.